What a joy it is to bring you the Word today, even on my sabbatical. Great opportunity we have as a congregation to witness the ordination and installation of Mark Vanderpool as an associate minister of the Word. And I was personally so encouraged and edified listening to Dr. Horton's exhortation and charge to our brother. And what an encouragement that is, I believe, to any pastor. And so let's hear now God's Word from Ephesians chapter 4. We'll take a break in our series that Dr. Horton has been delivering on Exodus to listen to God's Word from the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 4, the first 16 verses. Let us hear God's Word. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. And saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So for the reading of God's holy word. Well, this morning we've had the privilege of witnessing Christ give a gift to his church. That's what you saw today. Not merely a ceremony or a ritual, you witnessed the Son of God reach down and give a gift to his church. We witnessed the setting apart of Mr. Mark Vanderpool to the gospel ministry, to ordain him and to install him in that office that our form of ordination or foreordination calls the minister of the word. It uses that title very deliberately and with much forethought and care. Mark Vanderpool, he's called to be a minister of the word. His whole vocation is to be a servant of the Word, a servant who serves God's Word to God's people. And his responsibility is to apply that Word in his preaching, his teaching, his counseling, his writing, his disciplining, his leading. He is to bring the Word to God's people because that is what we need the most. Those means, the preached word and the visible word, the administration of the sacraments, those are the means that God has promised to bless. Those means, not human ingenuity, not human cunning, not craftiness in schemes that we might come up with for what we think might be the best, but God has already given us that which is best and that which we need. We need to be nourished. We need food. Feed my sheep is what Jesus said to Peter. Remember that? Just before he ascended. Peter, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed them. And the way that we are fed is through the Scriptures being preached to us each week and the visible Word being administered to us in baptism and the Lord's Supper. Those are the means that He has promised to bless. How do we know that? Because that's exactly what the apostles did in the book of Acts. After they received the Lord's commission, they went out into the world to make disciples of all peoples of all nations. How? By preaching Christ and planting churches where Christ would be preached and the sacraments would be administered. And this really, as we'll see, is the fulfillment of God's promise in the Old Testament. The simple planting of churches where the gospel is proclaimed. And we see ministers being installed so that the ministry of the gospel would continue. And that work continues today. It went on at the time of the apostles, and it's going on even today, even in this place. In this little building in Santee, God, the God of eternity, reaching down and giving us a gift. Mark Vanderpoel has been ordained and installed as an associate pastor of Christ United Reformed Church. And today, Christ has given His church a gift so that they will continue to be nourished, protected, and matured. Those are the things that Paul talks about here in Ephesians 4. That we would be nourished, protected, and matured. Let's think about those things together this morning as we hear the voice of our Lord from His Word. First of all, Christ gives the gift of the ministry of the Word so that His people will be nourished. So that they'll be nourished. Now, boys and girls, you know that you got to eat if you're going to be nourished, right? If you don't eat, you die. Well, the same is true for the body of Christ. What's the body of Christ? The church. And if the church doesn't eat, it dies. And what's the food that the body of Christ eats? The Word of God. The Word that's being proclaimed. That's what the Bible says. God does not expect His people or want His people to be self-feeders. Yes, it's important for us to read the Bible on our own and to listen to sermons online and to make use of those means and those things, but they're never primary. That would be like you boys and girls saying, oh, I'm not coming to breakfast, lunch, or dinner with my family. I'll just eat Skittles in my room. That can work for a little while. But that's not what your parents have ordained, and it's not what God has ordained. He doesn't say anywhere in the Word of God, now you log on in your room and listen to sermons alone all the time. No, He says, come. You can listen to sermons, good ones, but you need to come without question to hear what God has to say from His Word, the meal, because we need that nourishment in the body of Christ. And here in Ephesians 4, Paul alludes to that. He talks about how Christ ascended into heaven, and when He ascended into heaven, He gave gifts to His church. Now notice in verse 8, he quotes Psalm 68, that psalm that we sang a little while ago. And he says, when He ascended on high, He led a host of captives, and He gave gifts to men. Now as we heard Dr. Horton teaching us about Psalm 68. Psalm 68 is a psalm of triumph, and it was quite possibly written in celebration of the Ark of the Covenant returning to Jerusalem. A song of triumph that pictures God being victorious over Israel's enemies and ascending His throne to receive gifts and homage from men. You know, people would bring gifts to a king to pay homage to him when he was victorious over his enemies. And by citing this psalm, Paul, he puts Christ in that role. He says, Christ is the king who has ascended into heaven. Now he's upon his throne. By his death and cross and his resurrection, he defeated our enemies, sin, death, and hell. And now he has ascended triumphantly to the right hand of the Father, where he gives gifts to the church. Well, wait a minute, I thought you said we give gifts to the king. Well, Paul, he deliberately plays with the words of Psalm 68 to show that Christ, in His ascension, being the kind of king He is, instead of receiving gifts from men, well, He receives our praises and our grateful obedience, but He also gives gifts to His church. by ascending onto His throne, He then gives the gift of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, to create and empower the New Covenant Church. And the church is always on the receiving end. We're always being blessed by Christ. That's our relationship with Him. We're never the Redeemer. We're always the redeemed. But those gifts that we receive from Christ, according to Paul here in Ephesians 4, are the offices of the Word. The ministry of the Word is a gift. Here in Ephesians 4, those are the specific gifts to which Paul refers. Notice what he says in verse 11. And he gave the what? The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastor-teachers. Those are four different gifts. Although ministers are not the only gifts in the body of Christ, as Paul shows in other places, right? 1 Corinthians, Romans, there are other gifts that he talks about. Those are the only gifts he's talking about here in Ephesians 4. Because those are the gifts that edify and nourish the body. He mentions four different offices here. First, the extraordinary and temporary offices of apostles, prophets, evangelists. Those only went on during the time that the canon was still being given to us, that we would still have special revelation. But once the faith was once for all delivered to the saints and we have the entirety of the canon, those offices passed away. But the ordinary office, not extraordinary, the ordinary office and permanent office of minister continues. And sometimes it looks pretty ordinary. Mark's a tall, handsome man, but beyond that, he's quite ordinary, like the rest of us. He has no special powers. Don't ask him to come in and lay hands on someone and heal them as the Apostle Paul could. He can't do that. Don't ask him for special revelation. He has none, only this that's only been given. It's an ordinary office. And an ordinary sinner like the rest of us. And yet this is the office that the Lord continues to bless and to give now that the canon has been closed, so that we'll receive that canon, so that we'll receive His Word. Because that's what we need, is to hear God's Word. We need to be nourished in the soul. We need shepherds who will feed the flock. You know, there are so many shepherds out there, so-called shepherds, who aren't feeding the flock. I was at dinner last night with a couple, and they were telling me about their former church and how the sermons that they heard were moral lessons about how to be the bee and not the butterfly. And this is a huge megachurch. Or another one on how to use time management. And the whole sermon was built around an illustration of a jar and putting rocks in the jar and then small pebbles and then sand, and that was the sermon. And people go away thinking, well, I've heard a good Christian sermon. Something they could have heard from Dr. Phil or Oprah or anybody else. And there's nothing distinctly Christian about it. And people all over America are hearing sermons like that, not being fed with the Word of God, and Satan's laughing. We need shepherds who will feed. Shepherds who will feed. And this is what God spoke about in the Old Testament. Remember what He said to His people in Jeremiah 23. He pronounced covenant curses. And He said, "Woe to the shepherds, listen, who destroy and scatter the sheep of My pasture." And then He turns His charge to the shepherds who were faithless. And He says, "You have scattered My flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of My flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. Listen, I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord." Faithless shepherds in Israel, not doing what they were supposed to do, bring the Word of God to God's people. Failing to do that, failing to nourish the flock. And God says, I won't have it. I will bring my remnant out, and I will set faithful shepherds over them. And that day did come, didn't it? When Christ, the good shepherd, came. Isaiah said of him, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Christ is that shepherd, the one that the Old Testament prophesied about. He's the one who laid down his life for his sheep, and loving his sheep with an eternal love, he provides food for his sheep. A shepherd has to feed his flock, or the flock dies. And Jesus is the good shepherd who feeds his sheep. And he does that now primarily through the ordinary office of pastor. Pastor just means shepherd. A shepherd feeds. Shepherds give a word that equips the saints, as verse 12 tells us, and builds up the body of Christ. Just as we can't be built up without eating physically, the body of Christ can't be built up without eating spiritually. And the food that we receive is the preaching of the word primarily. And Mark, today it's scary a little bit for us. But you are one of those shepherds about whom Jeremiah prophesied, because you are being ordained to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's frightening. And that's one of the reasons why the title Reverend is put before your name, because you're set apart for this task. And you're not to bring them what you think is best, or the latest book that you've read, but the Word of God, what God knows is best, and to feed them. Feed the flock of Christ. That is your primary responsibility, so that they will be nourished. And they will be nourished as you feed them well. And it means laboring. Laboring to provide good meals for them. Meals that they are able to devour and eat. But remember that it's the Word and the Gospel that will ultimately nourish their souls. Good advice and counseling is nice. We like that, don't we? I need some advice. And sometimes we go to our pastor, and it's always dicey when you come to me for good advice. I may know something about that or not. But good advice can't nourish the soul, ultimately. And a warm personality and a tender-heartedness, as important as that is to have. And with this flock, it's not that difficult. But that ultimately cannot nourish your soul. You know, you can go to a doctor who is the nicest guy in the world. You love being around the guy, and he's got all kinds of great advice, and he's fun to be around, but he's a terrible doctor. You don't want him operating on you. And it works in some ways the same with a pastor. The most important thing is not the warm personality or the tenderheartedness, but is he faithfully bringing me the word that nourishes my soul? Because that's what I need. That's why we put our clothes on early in the morning, brush our teeth, take a shower, get breakfast, and come here to church. Because we need to be nourished, and we need to hear from God. And congregation, that means come ready to eat. Ready to eat. Come to the feast that God provides you. Whether it's Pastor Brown or Dr. Horton or Pastor Vanderpool, come to the feast that He has provided you twice each Lord's Day. He supplied you with chefs. And now he says, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? God says, listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live. Come ready to eat with your ears on Sunday morning and Sunday evening. Because God is going to nourish your soul. That's how your soul will be nourished above everything else. And God tells us that He gives the gift of the ministry of the Word so that His people will be protected. They'll be nourished and they'll be protected. Without the ministry of the Word, all of us will inevitably be, as Paul says, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Like a tiny little skiff out on a tempestuous sea, getting tossed around without the ministry of the Word. Looking here, looking there for the truth. Where do I go? Googling this, Googling that. Searching. God says, without the ministry of the Word, we would all be scattered sheep. Each doing what we think is right in our own eyes. Each being our own little pope. Each turning here and there to find the Word of the Lord. And there would be no unity of the body. It would be a separated body with no protection. We'd be like scattered sheep, unprotected from wolves. We would be like Israel in the days of Ezekiel, when the Lord told him to prophesy against the false shepherds who fed themselves instead of the sheep. God says, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered, says the Lord. They wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. But loved ones, since Christ has come, the good shepherd who came to seek and save that which is lost, He has brought His sheep together, even from every tongue, nation, and tribe, as we heard earlier. Even though we have many differences on many things, we are united together as one body, as one flock, through our good shepherd who seeks to protect us from the schemes and the wiles of the devil, who wants nothing more than to trick us and to get us going off on this little tangent or this little hobby horse or this little personal agenda and make that our personal gospel. And Christ wants to protect His sheep. God brought down words of judgment against those shepherds who did not protect the sheep in the Old Covenant. And in the New Covenant, He seeks to bring protection. How does He do that? How does the ministry of the Word do that? Well, first of all, by instructing the body on the articles of the historic Christian faith. And notice what Paul does in this passage. He says, there is one body and one spirit. Just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. What's He doing? He's stating a creed. These are things that the body needs to affirm and needs to understand and needs to grow in their understanding of in order to be protected. Paul gives this little creed to show the basis of our unity. Is the ministry of the Word is Christ's gift to protect that unity by instructing the sheep on the faith once for all delivered. And Mark, that means that not only must you be a good example, brother, and love the flock and seek to protect the unity in every way by making peace and promoting peace within purity within the body, but also by instructing them. Instruct the body. Instruct the flock in the chief articles of the Christian faith. As a pastor, you are called to protect them from false doctrine, from things that are not true. And so instruct them on what we believe and why we believe and what has been given to us by God and His Word and how the truth has been defended through the centuries. Never give yourself rest in understanding these things yourself and all of the different wolves that come about in false teaching and ways that the devil will seek to get at the flock and bring division or bring false teaching. Give yourself to study and give yourself constantly to instructing the flock. You're about to step into that very office that God Himself promised through the prophet Jeremiah when He said, "And I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding." That was God's promise. Give them knowledge and understanding, for that is how we're protected. And congregation, never tire of learning these things. I know what happens. because I had almost all of you in my new members class. I know what happens. We read the three forms of unity, and there comes a point where we kind of say, yeah, I know all that. Heidelberg Catechism, again. But there's so much for us to constantly be learning and growing in our understanding. You know that with your own careers, your jobs. You know that with sports knowledge, men. With so many different things. Languages, music. Above all, we need to constantly grow in our knowledge and understanding. And God has provided us shepherds to feed, to instruct, so that we'll be not only nourished, but protected. Protected. The devil wants you to stay away from church. The devil wants you not to go to adult Sunday school. The devil wants you to say, oh, once is enough. I don't want to go back in the evening. Because we get instructed. We get instructed in those times. So make use of the gift that God has given you. He gives us this gift so that we would be nourished, protected, and finally, Paul says, that we would be matured. That we'd be matured. Notice what he says. It causes us to grow up to mature manhood, as he says in verse 13, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children. Yes, Jesus says, be like little children when you come. In other words, trust Him. But He never says, remain little children. Remain immature. We are all to grow up to maturity. I remember hearing once from a person who says, yeah, but didn't the blind man who was healed say, look, all I know is that once I was blind and now I see. And I said, that's right. And how long had he been converted? About an hour. We're not to simply say that for the rest of our lives. But we're to grow in maturity. We're to grow, and God has given us the gift. He's so good to us. He provides us with that which we need so that we'd be nourished, protected, and matured. So that we would no longer be children, tossed on the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, but that we would grow up in becoming like Christ, who is the head of the church. So that we would learn, and so that we also would grow in our sanctification. Grow from learning from our failures in the Christian life. Grow through repentance and confession and all the failures that we experience. But we'll continue to mature because God gives us His Word. And Paul says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. When we gather together in the holy assembly, the body is fitted together with each part that God has supplied. And we receive together the food so that we will have the communion of saints, being nourished, being protected, and growing to maturity. Each of us as individuals, as families. And what is it that causes us to grow? What is it that causes proud, selfish, stubborn sinners like me, like you, to speak the truth in love? What motivates us to use our gifts and talents, not merely for ourselves and accumulating purely for ourselves, but for the benefit of others? What causes us to bear with one another in love when it's difficult? With all humility, with gentleness and patience. You know, some of us just aren't wired that way. What can cause us to grow up in that way? The gospel. The gospel. Christ and Him crucified. The gospel. Give Him the gospel, Mark. That is what will cause the flock to grow to maturity. If you want to see people grow in their holiness, preach the gospel. If you want to see people slay their sins, preach the gospel. If you want to see people reconciled, confessing their sins, humbling themselves in the home with one another, in their communities, preach the gospel. The gospel is the power to those things. That is the means that God has provided. Preach the gospel not only for the conversion of sinners, but the sanctification of the converted. It's for saints and sinners. And as you do, you will see the Lord do amazing things. That's what brings such confidence to the preaching of the gospel. It's His work. It's His authority. It's His power. And there's a sense in which we can sit back and watch what God does. So Martin Luther said, he said, when somebody asked him about the Reformation, he said, I simply taught, preached, and wrote God's gospel. Otherwise, I did nothing. He said, and then while I slept, drank Wittenberg beer with Philip and Amsdorf, the Word so greatly weakened all who opposed me, I did nothing. The Word did it all, for it is almighty and takes captive the hearts. And if the hearts are captured, the evil work will fall of itself. The Word does the work. The Word is the power. The power is not in ourselves, but in the Word. So God gets the glory. The Word is what's living and active and full of authority. And that gives us confidence in our mission, and confidence as preachers, confidence as pastors. And you can rely on that. And don't worry about how successful your ministry may look. If I might borrow something from Dr. Godfrey, that he preached it at my ordination service 10 years ago. Mark, in your ministry, you might see 100 new members within the next year. Or you might see 100 less. We don't like to think about that. But that's not up to you. The increase and decrease is not up to you. That is up to God. He's the one that gives the increase. All that is up to you is to be faithful. To be faithful. To stay the course. To do as Dr. Horton told you, what you have known since childhood is right. Now stay the course and continue to do that. Even amid criticism, difficulty, trial, be faithful in preaching the Word. And God has promised that as you're faithful with the gospel, both in preaching it and administering it in the sacraments, He will bless His gospel in the way that He intends. He will do and accomplish all that He has planned. And that must be your comfort and your confidence in your labors. It shouldn't be reason to be lazy. We need to work hard. God uses means. Let's give God's people the best. They deserve it. Christ died for them. They deserve the best of us. But it's reason to be filled with confidence. Confidence in your study. Confidence in your preaching. Confidence in your teaching. And congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Lord is giving you this gift today. It's a glorious thing. A glorious thing. It may not look like much, but it truly is glorious. As John Owen said, there is greater glory in giving a minister to a poor congregation than in the installment and enthronement of all the popes and cardinals and metropolitans that ever were in the world. Let their glory be what it will, said Owen. Christ is upon His theater of glory in the communication of this office and these officers. It may not seem that glorious at times, especially when the sermons maybe go a little long or it's not exactly what we expected. Outwardly, it appears weak and feeble. But God has given this treasure in earthen vessels, in cracked jars of clay. And God shows us that when we have good and faithful teachers that labor in the Word, pointing us to Christ, pointing us to heaven, our hope, well, it's a sure sign that our Lord Jesus Christ has not left us nor forgotten us, but that He is present with us and He watches out for our salvation. You see how God has cared for us. He has blessed us. Do we see His great love for us as citizens of His kingdom, as members of His family, and that He would continue to nourish our faith and protect us and cause us to grow to maturity? Do we see how Christ is still saying to us, even today, I will be with you until the end of the age?
Oh, may we receive that gift today, congregation. And may we rejoice in God's promise that He will nourish our souls. He will protect us. And He will cause our faith to mature. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You for how You continue to bless us with giving us shepherds that we need. And we pray that You would bless the ministry of Reverend Vanderpool, and that You would cause Your word to go forth and here in this place, Lord, and cause all of us to continually be built up by Your word. Thank You for caring for us. And we know that this is Your church, and we are so grateful to be part of it. And so we happily submit ourselves to You today and rejoice, even now as we come to Your table, to receive Christ once again. For it's in His name we pray.